opportunities for us to come together and share it with each other. Lord, thank you for this just amazing time that we have in this facility, Lord, with these people. And Lord, let it not be lost on us how lucky and how blessed we are. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Now for this, I've been thinking on this for a long time. And we've had some business meetings. We've had some conversations about what the direction this church is going. And I've entitled this, Know Your Worth. Because it's hard for you to get better at something, or it's hard for you to try to improve yourself if you don't know why. And I do believe that the question why is one of the most important questions that we can ask ourselves. Why are we doing this? What is our purpose? What is our goal? So, and in the church, as well as in the world, as well as in your daily walk, the question why will come up. Why am I doing this? Why do I need to do this? Well, it's because you're valuable. At some point, someone has looked at you and said, this person has worth. Let's give them an opportunity. And whether you know it or not, if you're a child of God, you are worth a life. You are worth more than gold, more than silver, more than precious jewels. And Sunday when you preached on, or when Pastor preached on ethics and etiquette, I was listening to it and I was like, well, this is what I've been studying on by myself. In a different way. Knowing why you're important. Well, that can be set up in the Psalms. Psalm 139, verse 14, says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If someone is fearfully and wonderfully made, or if something is fearfully and wonderfully made, there's time that goes into that.
Yes.
It's not just something that you do off the cuff. There's time, there's effort, and there's precision that goes into making this or developing this thing or item or thought even. So if the Psalms tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that means inherently we have value. And when you think of value, you might think of paintings, sculptures, things of beauty, things that are you pay to go see, something that you look at and you're just in awe of. And the first thing that came to me was Michelangelo's David. I don't know why it came to me, but I researched it just real quick. I just did a Google search. Said, why is this? Why do people go look at this? Why do people pay money to see this? Well, it turns out this is the statue of David. It's King David from the Bible. I didn't know that. It's David from the Bible. It stands 17 feet tall. It's made of solid marble from one huge brick of marble. And it was started in 1501 and wasn't finished till 1504. So it took 3 years to make this statue. Now, if something takes 3 years, 17 feet tall, it takes a month to move it from where it was made, 500 yards to where they displayed it. It took a month to move a 17, because it's a solid marble statue. It's heavy. They used greased logs and rope. So that took a long time because you don't want to drop a 17-foot statue and break it. It took 3 years to make. It's got value. So you're going to take your time. Now imagine God working 40 years on something. He's developed this from the magical year of 1985 until 2025. He's been working on something for 40 years. He's got value in that. He sees value in whatever he's working on. And it's not just that. I'm not the only project. Everyone that calls him Father is his project. He sees worth in every one of his children. And he's constantly working on you. He constantly sees value in developing you, making you better. So when you're sitting here thinking, I'm worthless, I don't want to continue, I don't want to go on, I'm better off 6 feet in the ground. You are going directly against the will of God.
That's right.
Because he sees value in you. You think you're worthless. He sees a priceless treasure. He sees worth in you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're currently doing, no matter what you plan on doing. You may plan on doing something after church tonight that, you know, God won't like. He still sees value in you because he still wants you to repent, come back to him. And he's going to clean you up. He's going to work on you. It's probably not going to be fun. But he's going to do it. He's going to put the work in on you. Know your strength. As a Christian in the world, sometimes you feel hopeless. You feel, I'm not making a difference. No matter what I tell my coworkers, my friends, my family members, my spouse, my kids, I just feel powerless against this. The world's coming at them from every single direction. They've got so many entertainment opportunities. They've got so many things to pull their attention away from me, from the Bible, from what I think's right. But in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can overcome so much that you don't think you can. You're a warrior of God. And even in Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, Genesis 1:27, you yourself are made in the image of God. You were made to be like Him, and you are perfect in His sight. He made you to be perfect. He made you to be His mouthpiece. You are the church. So if you think you're worthless, you're thinking, I can't do this. I'm powerless. I don't have any value in me whatsoever. You're made in the image of God. So no matter what you think you're doing, you can be so much more. And I hate when people, let's say, let's start a diet Monday. It can be 9 o'clock at night and I can be grabbing a moon pie and I'm thinking, man, I need to do better. Maybe I'll start. If I start tomorrow, I won't do it. So put the moon pie down, Austin. Let's start right now. It's not going to be much. You've already blew the day. You've had a blizzard and you've had a 6-piece chicken strip basket. But you don't need that moon pie. So put the moon pie down. It's small steps. I'm hungry, apparently. With this strength, though, comes responsibility. You've watched Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. When you accept this strength and when you accept your value, you also accept the responsibility to receive that and do better. Now, that's where it comes in with ethics and etiquette. Yes. The reason we need to act this way, the reason we need to be a light in the lost and dying world, the reason we need to be better is because we do have this worth to us. The reason we don't want to behave in a certain way, the reason that we don't want to let things come out of our mouth that are hurtful or sometimes disgusting is because that's not how we should represent God. We should be better. Now, we're not perfect. We are, like I said, we're a work in progress. But we should try. Because we have this value in us, we should try to be better. We should try to be just a little bit better than yesterday. Now, that's not saying you're not going to fail. You might. You might stumble, but that's the process. So keep trying because you have so much potential. Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created to do good works through Christ which strengtheneth us. You don't have to have a ministry or a television show or a podcast or a YouTube channel. The biggest thing that I didn't realize doing this my first time, my generation, we've been made to record things. We put a phone or a camera in front of ourselves and we record it. We look at it. If we don't like it, we can delete it. This is different. And your everyday life is different. You can't delete what you said at lunchtime. When you're speaking live to people, you have to have that knowledge in your head. You have to have it coming from your heart. And you have to have it in you. It has to be coming out of you naturally. It can't be faked. Because if you do something on TikTok and you're sitting there, you're trying to do whatever you're wanting to do, but you can't get it right. You can always quit and come back to it later. In real life, during your everyday walk, if you can't witness to somebody properly, they might think, well, this guy doesn't know anything more about the Bible than I do. So you've got the worth in you, but you do have to put the effort into it because there's not a redo here. And my generation especially, I was brought up with Nintendo. The Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES, came out the same year I was born. So there's not a time when I've not had a screen in my face. Lillian's even worse. She's got the iPad. She has entertainment on demand. So, when you've got this in front of you, something analog, it's not as fun. And sometimes that's true. But when you realize what's in there, you realize, I can study whatever I want to. I don't have to follow what pastor's preaching on right now. I don't have to follow what this televangelist is doing. If I've got a question, I can go in there independently and find out what I want to know. This right here started 2 months ago. Because I was just feeling something myself. I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I trying to do this for real? And I'm like, because I know that I can speak. I know that I'm fairly intelligent, but why am I trying to do this? Do I have? Can I add value to what I'm doing? Can I have purpose? And I started reading. You know, I'm made in the image of God. I'm valuable. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, if He's put all this effort into me, if He's given me the ability to speak in public, if He's given me the ability to be able to research what I want to know, I need to use that for Him. Because He's put all this work, and He's putting all this work into me, so I need to use it for Him. Because if I know it's not, but you know, you've heard the song, Use It or Lose It. Use it or you. I'm not going to lose it because it's in me. He's instilled this ability in me, so I do need to use it for Him. All right? Isaiah 4:10. This hit me more recently because after the first time I got up, I really like, man, I was not expecting that. I expected to do it like a pre-recorded message. And I even wrote my notes out like that. I was writing it out like a script. And I can't read from a script. I have to do this like a conversation. Because if I read from a script, it's going to be dry. I'm going to be looking at that notebook, not looking at you all. And that's not how you communicate thoughts and feelings. That's not how the word was meant to be shared. It's not meant to be pre-recorded. It's meant to be real. So, thank you. If I sit here and just stare at a notebook and it's dry, that's not a lot of worth to you. Because you can watch that on Facebook Live later. You can watch that on the Roku channel. If you're wanting just to watch something pre-recorded, you can turn that on anywhere, anytime. But you're here for a conversation. You're here for something to learn, you know, a revelation now possibly. So that can't be written down. That has to be given through life experiences. That has to be given through story, through conversation back and forth. When you amen Pastor, when you amen Jason up here, that's a conversation. It's not much of one, but it is something. It's a little bit of encouragement saying, hey, they're awake. So this is the best, and I know it's an old one, but vehicles or fishing poles or, oh, okay. I went down a rabbit hole recently. I really got into colognes. I don't know why, but I was watching this and I'm like, why is that cologne $300? And I'm not kidding. There was a bottle of cologne this big that I would see at Walmart and it's like $25. But this version was $300 for a bottle of cologne. I'm like, why? So I researched it. It turns out, what do you think makes cologne or perfume valuable? It's the oil. The oil carries the scent. So the more oil that's in a perfume, the more valuable it is. And immediately I thought of the alabaster box. So I don't know why, but the switch hit, and I was like, "Oh, that's she broke that box, and she used her hair to clean, so that was valuable." I'd imagine back then most of it was oil, so that was precious to her. So you've got four basic types, and this is going to be boring to a lot of you, but this is the rabbit trail I went down. There's four basic types of scents. There's a fresh, which is meant for like an hour. If you're going on a lunch date, spray this on. It's like 2% oil. It'll be gone in an hour and you won't stink the rest of the day. There's one that's 10% called a cologne. That's what men mostly wear because it lasts for a couple hours. You can reapply it, change scents if you want to. There's an eau de toilette, which is a little bit more oil. It's meant for all day. And then there's a perfume. That's like 20% oil. It's made to last not only all day, but days. So that's mostly what women wear. Maybe they put it on first thing in the morning. It's meant to go all day with them. So what's in that $300 bottle might be 20 to 30% oil. And that oil is precious. So I wouldn't see value in that. You know, if you're sitting there walking down Bull Creek and you see a big bottle, one of them's $25 and one of them's $300, you're not going to know the difference. You're not going to know what's inside that unless you look at it and see the value in it. Yes. So someone like me wouldn't see that, but someone who, that's their niche, so that someone that's their jam, they'll look at that and go, oh, that's a $500 bottle of cologne for just $300. I need to snatch that up. Right. When I would see that and go, he is crazy. Yeah. All right. Now, in the same aspect, if you put me and Jeremy and Scotty in the same room and we're at a car auction, we're all going to three be looking at different vehicles. You know, me and Pastor Rhett, we'll be looking at vastly different vehicles. She might see that Cadillac sitting there and go, that's my jam. I might look at that pickup truck or that SUV and go, that's mine. So what you put your value into is very different than what someone else might put there. And that's a good thing. If we all value the same thing, it wouldn't be life. If everyone saw the same, if everyone had the same talents, the same values, if everyone put all their effort and focus into one thing, it wouldn't work. Because it takes different viewpoints from different ways to get the whole body of God moving, to get the church going. So what I might be good at might not be what you're good at. But that doesn't mean you have any less value. Because there's times that I struggle on the guitar, preparing a message, doing something for Stephanie. Like, there's several times that we forget things. I have to come back after church. I unlock the gate. I undo the alarm. I go back to her office. I get things. I take pictures. I print things out for her. That's no less valuable than what I do up here. Because even though she's my wife, she's also integral with the church. So when I help her out, I'm helping the church. So just because I might be coming out here to do what I think might be a piddly thing, she sees value in that because I'm helping her out. So it's all a matter of perspective. And what God sees value in, you might think it's the least important thing at all. When He sees your worth, you can do anything that, not only you set your mind, you can do anything that He sets His mind to. And that's a lot more than what I can do. And that's why in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. I am thy God, I will help you, and I will uphold thee. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Because a comfort zone is a comfort zone because it doesn't expect anything out of you. You don't have to push yourself. You don't have to try and do anything better. You're comfortable. You're right here. No one's bugging you. Right? There's no pressure. You're happy. The moment you step out of that comfort zone, that's when you get scared. And you can't operate in fear. Because you do have value. I promise you have value. If God didn't see value in you, you wouldn't be His child. And every one of us are His children. Okay? So, fear cannot be a factor in this. When you know your worth, you're able to press a little bit harder. When you feel like you want to give up, if you know how valuable you are, you're going to say, no, I'm not doing this just for me now. I'm doing this for my family, for my church. I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for Jesus. And when you don't give up, when you show your worth, you're making yourself, even if you don't realize it, you are making yourself better. Because as iron sharpeneth iron, if there's no pushback, you're not working hard enough. If you don't make mistakes, you're not working hard enough. I promise you daily I make mistakes, personal and professional. I take that as a learning experience. I made a mistake. I know better now. And now I know how to attack this differently. I encourage each, even if it's 5 minutes a day, and it doesn't have to be an in-depth thing. Sometimes I get on Audible and I listen to a devotional on my way home from work. It's 30 minutes. It's not a lot, but it beats turning on Apple Music or listening to just the radio. And you can find little 15-minute devotionals that sharpen like what you're wanting to do. And there are some weird ones out there. And it seems like little niche topics that you wouldn't think are important, but you're like, well, that one just sounds interesting. It's 15 minutes. It's going to be okay. But the most important thing that I want to impress upon you is, if you feel like you're small, if you feel like you don't have any value, you do. So please, if you have questions, ask them. The most important question is why. Why am I doing this? And it can be something as simple as, I want to do better. I want to be a part of something bigger than me. Yeah. Why? Well, because I might have a little bit more worth in me than what I thought. You might learn something about yourself. You might grow a little bit. And that's always a good thing. Anytime you can grow in Christ, it's a great thing. So, I want to thank you all for listening to me today. I know it's been a little bit of a rabbit trail, but like I said, this has been going through my head for roughly 2 months. Just different ways to go about things, different ways to explain things for me to learn about myself. And it's been a long time coming because, you know, self-doubt creeps up. So if you doubt yourself, then you're not going to be able to perform at your best. But when you have scriptures in the back of your head and in your heart backing you up, say, no, I do have value. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes. I'm made in His image. Yes. You can't fight me on that, devil. Yes. You know, because he's going to whisper at you.
That's right. Yeah.
So get in your word, pick it up, look at it, and get it inside you. Because if you've got it written down, it's not going to do anything when you're in your truck or at your office. Okay? If it's in your heart, you can tell that person, no. You're made to do amazing things. Well, if the Lord wills it, I'll be there. Well, no. It's the Lord's will that you prosper and be in health. Okay? You're not. If you want to do it, you're going to do it because that's the Lord's will. As your soul prospers, He wants you to prosper. So, I want to thank you all for listening to me tonight. You can go ahead and stand up. Yeah. If anyone wants to come forward right now for prayer, salvation, for healing, we'll do that now. No one? Okay. Anything else we need to announce? All right. I go ahead and dismiss. All right. I'll go ahead and dismiss you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, again for this time that we've come together, Lord, to hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for this moment of fellowship, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for this word that we've received this evening. Lord, let us take it out of this into our communities, Lord, into our households, and let it better us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the value that we have and how much that you mean to us and how much we mean to you, Lord, even importantly. And it's in your Son's heavenly name we pray. Amen.